wrote his gospel at a time when the whole world was falling apart, as it were, particularly if one was a Jewish Christian. Jesus' warning then serves as a guide to help make sense of what was happening. The message is simply this: God's way, God's Christ, and God's people will be vindicated in the conclusive manner that all will recognize. That time is not yet. The commentator Gerhardt concludes, the disciple is not called to eliminate his ignorance of the timing of the end. He is called to cope with it and respond to it appropriately. The question then the text addresses is, how does one live in difficult times? And we are in difficult times, just in case you did not realize it. The eschatological drama will run its course, scene by scene. But the actors on the stage have only vague clues about where they are precisely in the play. Only the stage actor knows. He has given the actors instructions about what to do and what to say when they see certain things happening. Well, that is it. They know how the play ends, but they do not know when the curtain will fall. Mark uses it to exhort his readers, as he's exhorting us today. It contains 17 imperatives. Christians need to be forewarned so that they are forearmed. He wants to inspire faith, endurance, and hope in the face of the impending sufferings of the church and the Jewish nation. He wants to assure the faint-hearted. Persecution then should not take them by surprise. When one lives in the midst of the firestorms of persecution, one cannot always perceive how God's purposes are being accomplished in the world. Mark helps his readers then to see that the persecutions that they are suffering must be suffered. Things may look bleak, and all hope may seem lost, but God is still fully in control. And God's purposes will triumph. They may not understand why they suffer, but they can take comfort in knowing that they fully are in the steps of their Lord. This discourse also serves as a warning. On the one extreme, there are the eschatological enthusiasts, who are in danger of losing their heads as they look for all kinds of menacing signs in the highly charged atmosphere of the end time excitement. And in those days, it was rife. On the other extreme, there are the eschatological nonchalant, who, during the interim period of delay, become unconcerned, inattentive, and even derisively skeptical. And we, as God's people, during these days, must not fall into either of these categories for our own good. So what then should be a proper posture as we persevere through this global crisis, this global pandemic, this uncertainty, these troubled, perilous times. What should be our posture? First of all, looking at this text, I think our posture should be one of calm. We should be calm. We should embrace our lack of knowledge appropriately. Some of us think, oh my goodness, when is the end? Oh my goodness, what is going on? Look, these must be the signs of the times, and we panic. But the Bible says in verse 32, but concerning that day or the hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, except the Father. So let's just accept it. As we say in some quarters, just chill. We don't know. The disciples, they asked Jesus in Acts, and we're going to look at it in a minute. When are you now going to establish? When shall the end be? And Jesus said, listen, that is not your problem. Guys, this world is going to end. The challenge is not if, it's when, which we do not know. In this text, Jesus specifically is warning against eschatological hysteria. Do not let people push you around with regards to the end times. We are God's people and we know differently. We know better. We can look and see the signs of the times and be able to read the proverbial tea leaves. The world is coming to an end. Jesus did not intend to remove the veil of secrecy surrounding the timing of the end for his disciples when they asked. And we should not try to do so either. Mark's message then is more subtle, to give us events to enter. Is Mark's message more subtle than to give us events to enter on our calendar, rather, on our chart? For the day and the hour we do not know. And that word, that term phrase, the day, is speaking of what we call the parousia, the second coming of Jesus. And by the way, Jesus is coming again. When Jesus ascended, the disciples stood there in wonderment, maybe in worry. An angel appeared and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, which has been taken from you, will return in like manner. It is true. So the appropriate posture, according to verse 33 then, is blepo. The word means to see, generally. But in this context, it means to be aware of, to understand, to be observing. We as God's people must not be caught in a stupor as regards to the signs of the times. We can't afford that. Our spiritual perception must be on high alert. Our antennas, when we see certain things happening, our antennas must go up. Not only are they called to be aware, far too many Christians are asleep. Spiritually, we are not aware. We are seeing things and we're not realizing the times that we're living. But he says that they should also be awake. It means to be on the lookout, to be watchful. Amen. Jesus says, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour that the Son of Man shall return, but be aware and awake, because you don't know the appointed time. That time is a specific time set by the Father. It could be the next minute. It could be the next hour. It could be the next week. We do not know. And for me, if we do not know, it behooves us then to be prepared. Can I ask you, are you prepared for the second coming? If Jesus Christ should come right now, would you be ready? The posture then is to stop worrying and to take note of what is happening around us and to match it with the scriptures. Stop worrying. Leave that to those who do not know better. We know that these things, as Jesus says, must come to pass. Famine, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars. But the end is not yet. Don't let people tell us rubbish. We must be calm and embrace this lack of knowledge of the end. But yet, being aware and being awake, preparing ourselves for the return of our Lord. The second aspect of this posture that we should have during this time of preparing is that not only should we be calm, but we should be conscious. Exercising our stewardship responsibly. Jesus says in verse 34, it is like a man going on a journey and leaving his house and giving his servants, underline that word, his servants authority, each his work. And he commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, for you do not know, again, you do not know when the Lord is coming, whether the first watch or midnight or the crowing of the cock early in the morning. We must be calm, or we must be not in a stupor, but we must be conscious. Jesus uses now a metaphor to somewhat explain the context in which the disciples needed to understand themselves. How do we understand ourselves during this time of peril and crisis? The man on the journey is metaphoric of Jesus leaving the world in this analogy. It's like a man leaving a house, oikia, a property, a possession, a good, his household, his building. Jesus considers us as his house. The servants here are metaphoric of the disciples who have been given authority. I want to remind us, all authority is given to Jesus. Therefore, we must go, having gone, make disciples of all ethnic groups. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 and following. Jesus has given us authority over all authority. Over demons. Authority over the powers. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. We are in a spiritual warfare above which we have been given authority. In other words, we are left in charge. But what is a person being left in charge and asleep? And ignorant of the time. It is a waste, is it not? But not only are we given authority, the word is kousia. In other words, it means the right to control, to govern over. But the Bible says here that Jesus says, they have been also given work. We have a stewardship to perform. It is among all things that the steward be found faithful, that we who have been given the authority of Christ to rule, to govern, to navigate in this perilous time must be found faithful in so doing. The word work is the word ergon. But what is the work? Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and look at verse 7. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set for his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and in the ends of the earth. What is the work? The work is to witness. The work is to tell as many as we can about Jesus before he returns. Because those who do not know this Jesus, who have a relationship with him, will be judged. Our work is to be doorkeepers. He says to the doorkeepers, keep watch. We are the watchmen. We are those who are responsible to tell the world about a Jesus who is returning. But so many of us are jaded by the circumstances. Our visions are blurred. So many of us are asleep in materialism. We are distracted by social media and the regular media, not realizing the times that we are living in. Jesus explicitly told them to be vigilant in their stewardship. They are to keep watch. They do not know when the house, the Lord of the house, is coming back. Look with me at the book of Thessalonians. Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. To 4, it says, "Now, brothers, about the times and the dates, we do not need you, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Brothers and sisters, what we are seeing around us is the indication that we are in the end times and need to be prepared for the second coming of Jesus and the ending of the world. It says in verse 4, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night nor to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith, love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Preparation. You must be conscious, or conscientious rather is the word. So we must be calm and we must be conscientious, not conscious. In other words, we must be pressing into our stewardship responsibly. What is it that God has said for us to be doing while he is away? It is that we should be his witnesses, giving testimony to what Jesus Christ has done in our hearts, and we are responsible to make disciples, teaching them to observe that which Jesus has commanded us. Are we calm? Are we conscientious? Do we realize that we have work to do? That so many do not know Christ? And that this world will come to an end. Now, the last posture is consciousness. So, be calm, be conscientious, but be conscious, ensuring that our vivacity is intentional. Ensuring our vivacity intentionally. Be conscious, ensuring our vivacity intentionally. The Bible says in verse 36, lest he came suddenly to find you sleeping. And that which I'm saying to you, I am saying to all. Keep watch. Mark 13 then also serves as a warning to the eschatological skeptics not to fall asleep. Some people would say, "Oh, come on, I've been hearing that all my life." It's a warning to the eschatological skeptics not to fall asleep, not to lose interest, not to lose faith, or not to lose concentration. Many may say to themselves, "Why bother to watch when almost 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus spoke these words?" That's not a new question. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 3 to 4. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their evil desires. Sound familiar? They will say, where is this second coming he has promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago in God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water, by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. But this, by the same word, the present heavens and the present earth are reserved for fire. Hello? Did you hear that? All the bank accounts, all the buildings, all the cars, the Teslas, the whatever, the Benz, Mercedes, the Beamer, I'm a Beamer fan. Everything, it is going to burn. Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone to change their minds about this life. We must be conscious intentionally. This attitude that we have must be one that does not say, oh, Jesus has been coming from my eyes or at my knees, and now it's way past that. He has not come yet. No, we must watch and wait, because he may come suddenly, lest he came suddenly to find you sleeping. Wow. I would not want the Lord to come suddenly to find me sleeping. And this is metaphoric or figurative of an attitude of spiritual laziness and indifference. Pay no attention, living as though it is business as usual. It is not business as usual. And what we're seeing happening with this pandemic, with this war in the Middle East, with all these atrocities, is a sign that we are in the eschaton. We are in the last days. Jesus makes a crucial statement. And I need to close. Jesus made this crucial statement that we cannot afford to miss this morning. He says, and that which I'm saying to you, I'm saying to all, not just some. I'm saying to all, watch. The Son of Man comes. He will not quiz people to see whose predictions on dates were accurate. He will want to know, what were you doing with your life? Where we will be challenged to answer whether or not we were proclaiming the gospel to the nation. We were sharing our faith. Were we enduring with those who are suffering faithfully? Were we fulfilling our assigned task, our work? Those who have been asleep on the job or buried in the task of trying to map out their times rather than carrying out the mission, will be more than embarrassed. They will be judged. It's why Jesus warned the disciples to be on guard, to be watching, to be awake. So what? Brothers and sisters, I want to close by encouraging us. Let us not be flustered by what is happening. The disease and this and that and the wars. But let us be calm. Knowing that these things must come to pass. And in the middle of our calm, let us be conscientious. Fulfilling our stewardship. Fulfilling the work. The work of witness. The work of loving our neighbors. The work of teaching others how to live for Christ. The work of helping others to be prepared for the second coming. Making sure that you, making sure that I, that we are ourselves prepared. Not asleep, lulled by the pleasures of this life and the materialism of this life. So what? Let us be conscious, aware that we are in the end times. I trust that you are encouraged by these words, but at the same time challenged by these words. Do not allow yourselves to fall prey like those who have no hope. To have a hope in Jesus, knowing he will return, and preparing oneself, one's loved one, one's neighbors, and the rest of the world to meet him. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for the hope in Jesus that, Lord, Jesus is going to prepare a place for us that where he is, we may be also, that he will return for his church. Oh, but that, Lord, we would be ready. Oh, but that, Lord, we would surrender in repentance and faith in the saving work of Jesus. Oh, that, Lord, we would tell somebody, Jesus died for your sins. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your gospel. It is my prayer, Lord, that the hearts, young and old, in this auditorium will be stirred to be calm in you, to be conscientious in you, to be conscious in you. May we anticipate your coming and be prepared for it. Watch over us now, Lord, as we leave this place. Walk with us, Lord, as we travail these perilous times, and help us to win as God wins in the end. We praise you, we honor you, Lord of heaven. In Jesus' name.